Welcome to episode 247 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be plenty of links with more information available on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
In the beginning.
In the plenty-o. So, what time is it?
7:30-ish.
Much to the despair of the clockmaker.
Yeah.
You might as well hang up your funny little magnifying glass thingy, because it's not the same time everywhere in the universe.
Oh, yes.
For example, the GPS satellites.
Yes.
Global Positioning System. That's what I decided the S stands for.
Sure.
Because otherwise I'm saying Global Positioning Satellites.
Satellite.
But I don't want to say that.
System.
Yes. It is 38 microseconds faster than us per day. At the end of 24 hours, I'm not sure who's 24 hours, they're 38 microseconds ahead of us.
Huh.
They have to correct for it. It's general relativity.
So people in the ISS are aging faster?
It actually depends upon their orbit.
They're tight. Near Earth, they're not geosynchronous at all.
It was like, even with the GPS things, they slow down because of their speed relative to us. And then they speed up because of less gravity relative to us. It just happens that the speed up thing is stronger for them than the slow down thing.
Okay.
And ISS, if they're near Earth, then they're probably aging a little slower than us. I'm glad you brought up all of that. I mean, that's not at all confusing.
That's what I'm here for.
An extreme case of this is at the event horizon of a black hole.
Ooh.
Where, the math says, time would stop.
Interesting.
Not from, like, if you're the guy diving in,
yeah.
Then I'm sorry, and I'll send flowers.
Right. Your time definitely stops.
But from our perspective, that part where you get, like, squished down into nothing hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't appear to be happening in billions of years from now.
What? Okay. There was a movie about that.
I would like to, so we can't do the math, right?
Right.
But Phil said something on Monday about, you know, we could play with the concepts.
Yeah.
So I came up with a concept.
Okay.
Every black hole in the universe is going to the same place.
You mean it's a tunnel to the same?
Yeah, like holes in a blanket, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You go through any hole and you're on the other side of the blanket.
Hey.
Same place. And because of time dilation, from their perspective, everything that ever fell into them, or ever will, arrives at about the same time. That sounds like a big bang to me. I think we're the other side of the blanket.
Okay.
And that all the matter and material that's falling into those black holes eventually will become, or will have going to have been, our Big Bang.
I love talking about time. It's so confusing.
But like I said, I haven't got the math for that. I think we definitely covered how confused we are on Monday. Probably, I wrote stuff. I wrote stuff down to answer questions that I think I might have written down too. Hang on.
All right.
Okay, I normally don't have notes for the Monday session.
Yeah.
Fred Hoyle.
Oh, okay.
Was the one who coined the term Big Bang.
Hoyle.
Yes.
Have anything to do with playing cards?
I don't know. he must have been a cosmologist because he talked about it. He actually...
Let me talk about cosmology. That's how you get a degree.
I've heard the name before, but I could have sworn he was a chemist.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I didn't really look up anything about him. I was just like, who said it?
We got his name. Enough.
He was actually against... he was in the steady state camp of how the universe started.
It all makes sense.
Meaning that the big debate is whether or not the universe has a beginning.
Ooh. Ooh.
And that still goes on. I like some of the first Big Bang people.
Mm-hmm.
I like this Georges Lemaître. He's Belgian.
Okay. This Belgian guy.
One of his first descriptions of the possibility of a Big Bang included a big squeeze.
Oh.
He'd come up with one of those oscillating universe models.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
Which don't necessarily have a beginning or an end.
Hmm.
Then constant, E equals MC squared.
Mm-hmm.
The C in that stands for constant, but that is the speed of light.
That's what I, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
his original constant?
And for general years later, he was using this cosmological constant, which is a four-dimensional tensor.
I
don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know what they are or how you write them down or how you do math with them.
Very complicated function to make my math really, work.
brings me to the main point I wanted to make. I don't really get this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just sort of hanging on with my fingernails, going off by headlines and summaries by other people who probably don't get this stuff either.
Well, the concepts, right? They're understandable.
Yeah. Mm. Four-dimensional tensor. You bet. Well,
that's a concept to make the math make.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
We don't need to know that.
We don't need to know anything. We're amateurs.
That's right.
Okay. But that won't stop us talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the term Big Bang didn't catch on for a couple of decades.
Okay.
I didn't, that's all I really have. I did bump into a paper. They were talking about the Einstein universe, right?
Right.
Speaking of his constant, the way I don't get it. It's my understanding that Einstein was trying to make this steady state universe,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't come out right, depending upon the initial conditions, it would collapse or it would expand.
Right.
So then he came up with this four-dimensional tensor. Stuck it in there and got something that was pretty stable.
Okay.
But other people noticed that, actually it's not stable. A slight push one direction or another either collapses very quickly
mm-hmm.
or it expands very quickly.
Well, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, back to the drawing board. I want to mention something about Einstein, right? Uh-huh. Like, he had this steady state model he was going for.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Edwin Hubble says, hey, never mind, the universe is expanding,
he
dropped it, right? Yeah. He turned on a dime and said, okay, that's the way the universe is, which is what you're supposed to do when you're a scientist.
Yes. It wasn't working. Now you know why.
But the cosmological constant is going to rear its ugly head again.
Hmm.
When we come back and talk about some of the weirdness around the ideas of how the universe started, which we'll do later. I mean, I'm pretty much done talking now.
Yeah, it's cold outside.
Problem with the damn Big Bang. That's right. I curse it. The damn Big Bang.
Several problems.
It seems like. I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you done?
Okay. Yeah. I was on a roll. Okay.
Anyway. The problem with the Big Bang is that it seems like a list of exceptions to natural law.
Ooh.
I think there's laws of conservation, like you can't create or destroy mass and energy.
Right.
You can turn one into the other
mm-hmm.
and into various different forms.
Okay.
But no creating or destroying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine as long as you assume the universe is endless and eternal. It never began, it never will end.
Oh.
If it did have a beginning, then that's one very large violation.
Here's all the mass you'll ever need at once.
Yeah. So then, if you subscribe to the notion of the hot Big Bang,
ooh.
You go back far enough to where it is just a sea of quarks and photons.
Quarks.
It should be dense enough to be a black hole.
Yeah.
How did it get so big?
Okay.
It's even worse than that.
Goodness.
Four reasons. In 1981, the inflationary model was proposed.
Okay.
This says that towards the beginning of the black holeness,
mm-hmm.
it sped up its acceleration. Considerably faster than light, as it happens.
So beyond just the explosion, it sped up again.
Yeah, well, it's explosion is a misnomer, yeah, right? Yeah. Because, like, that's a release of energy into space. Mm-hmm. This was space being made. So
a release of space into space.
Oh, you get into that multi-dimensional models into some sort of hyperspace or metaspace.
If we need that for science fiction.
Hyperspace. Yeah, you see, I'm a fan of this inflationary model.
Yeah.
Because it means that if you create space behind your ship, I don't know, eat it in front.
Like a worm.
It's a warp engine. You can go faster than light. I'm down with that.
We need that. Yes.
But the reasons for that are thermodynamical.
Okay.
It's the notion that this microwave background radiation is very even.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfectly even, but fairly even.
Right.
And they figure the only way it could reach thermodynamic equilibrium is if every little piece of it was touching each other for a while.
Oof.
But then to get to this size, it had to really speed up there right there at the beginning.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
And then we get back to the four-dimensional tensor that was Einstein's cosmological constant.
Okay.
It can kind of predict a bit of extra acceleration.
Okay.
And into it was announced in 2011.
Okay.
After the studies of supernovas that are the rate of expansion of our universe is actually increasing.
Oof.
And then I saw a lot of counter-arguments. A lot of papers came out and said, well, you do this, it just sticks this way, or you scratch your head that way, or turn around and bow to the east, and it's just not true.
That's what they do, though. You know, here's an idea. Well, and this is why it's crap.
Yeah, yeah. Part of the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 2019, those were the most recent articles I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like people are on top of the idea that the universe is accelerating expansion.
Okay.
I can't quite tell if it's always been accelerating or if it went extra fast there at the beginning and now it's going to go whoosh again.
Hmm. Interesting.
If that's the case, if it's uneven,
mm-hmm.
we can go back to my magic model where all the matter is going into the black hole, right?
Yeah.
Comes in at about the same time, not quite the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There would be minute differences, which might cause different rates of expansion.
Okay.
I mean, like, if you look at our universe, it actually has an event horizon.
Right.
There's that part of it that's going away too fast for us to see.
Yeah.
If the inflationary thing is right, the parts of our universe may have passed the speed of light from our perspective, which means pieces of the puzzle are missing.
Yeah.
And we'll never get them back.
I get it, because it's too far away. It's invisible to us.
Yeah. Like,
the light from the stars of the edge of the universe will never reach us. Yeah, I don't know. Trying to be smart here. It's not working. I like this, though. Okay, so these black hole holes, since they're going to the same place, but isn't this kind of outside of time?
Yes.
So it could be a wraparound to the beginning of
that's the thing. Like, you look far enough back to the beginning of the universe, the edge of our horizon that's expanding, time stops.
Yeah.
Right. Just so that's some instant that's played out over the last few billion years. Stretching out time. You know, you cannot take my model seriously. I don't do the math.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even take it seriously. It was just fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
thought experiment. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I know of some reasons why. No.
You're like, how would I test this? The universe would be this way. Oh, it's not. Damn it.
There is some question as to how come the universe is the way it is, especially when you look at how fine-tuned it is.
Fine-tuned.
It seems to have been especially made so we could be here.
Yeah, all these heavy elements and stuff.
This is things, the weight of various particles, how strong their magnetic fields are, this compared to that. And that actually, I saw a list of 26 different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Another place talked about 6 different numbers, but it's all over the place. This fine-tuning, carefully balanced system that lets what we're used to happen.
Huh.
And there's a couple of different explanations for this. One is, and they're still struggling for this, it happened this way because this is the way it was bound to happen.
In order for us to have existed, it had to happen this way.
Yeah, what you're actually hovering around is the anthropic principle. If we assume there was more than one universe somehow, and I'm a sci-fi fan, so...
Why not?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the only ones where someone is around to wonder about it happen to be carefully balanced so that someone can be around to wonder about it.
Heck yeah.
And I think we probably embarrassed ourselves enough with cosmology.
Okay. What are we embarrassing ourselves with next week?
I think we're going to go with dark matter.
Oh, okay.
It's spooky.
I know nothing about it.
Yeah, well, that's a fun place to start. See you next time.
Bye.